Welcome to this week's Future Toolbox podcast. We explore the Z to A of life skills, where each letter stands for a topic and essential tool to help you get ahead in life. Meet Jules and Mark, creators of the multi-award winning Future Toolbox, and enjoy their straightforward approach to creating growth mindsets that help people turn their dreams into realities. Whether you're a teen in education, a parent, a teacher, or part of a community group, start creating positive habits from today.
Hello, everybody. It's Mark and Jules from the Future Toolbox.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to our latest podcast. And today we have R is for Resilience. And this is a topic we're going to be talking quite a lot about, aren't we?
We are, yes. Now, the Oxford English Dictionary definition of resilience is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. Now, psychologists define it as the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress.
Yes, and October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. People suffering from cancer are most likely to have to deal with a trauma and significant stress to their mental and physical health. And of course, this is something that's really affected us, isn't it?
Yeah, when I was first diagnosed, we left the hospital. It really was a very stressful, scary, fearful time. And I had a million questions that were going through my mind. Things like, am I going to die? Will I lose my hair? Why me? That was the big one for me. Why me? I couldn't get my head round what I'd done to get this diagnosis. And the thing with breast cancer is it's one of those ones that there's sometimes no rhyme or reason as to why you get it. So what I set about doing was allowing myself some time to process where I was. But I realised that I needed to change. I needed to change my mindset because there was this amazing pity party raging in my head. And I had to accept that I can't change where I am. You know, I'd got the diagnosis. I'd got the breast cancer. I had to deal with it. So I set about changing my thoughts and my resilience. And my little mantra of dealing with it is facing it head on. I basically said to my cancer, right, I'm going to face you head on. I'm going to have the treatment. You're not going to have me. I'm going to survive this. Now, back when I was diagnosed 8 years ago, the charity Breast Friends that I'm a trustee of was not about. There was hardly any form of support for anybody that had been recently diagnosed. But now we do have Breast Friends Northampton, and it's a fantastic peer-to-peer support for anybody that's diagnosed, going through treatment or even post-treatment, that just needs somewhere to go for that support. For me, I had to go and research the treatment, and I did manage to find a group that was online, and I used to go on there and I used to have a little look. But I'll be honest with you, I used to come away because I felt sick reading all the stories of what people were going through. And it was really hard to be able to understand that for me to get better, I had to be made so ill. That was really difficult.
Wow,
but yes. Again, it is that mindset and understanding that this is an uncontrollable. I can't do anything about it. But what I can control is how I deal with it and how I change my own mindset. And I was determined that I was going to get through to the other side of this, which obviously I have done. Didn't realise that it was going to take quite as long as it did. But your whole mindset of how you talk to yourself and getting rid of that sort of pity party that might go on in your head is really key to be able to get through any sort of adversity or trauma that you're going through.
Yeah, I mean, that's a heartbreaking story, because at the time it was heartbreaking to see you going through these really, really tough times. And I remember I just felt really helpless, because you'd just be laid on the sofa, you know, just completely wiped out. And it's like, there's my wife laying there. Why are we going through this? As you just said, it was just mentally draining and just so, so difficult to deal with, wasn't it?
It was a very, very difficult time. But something else that was really, really key to help, first of all, me, and then obviously Mark, I was very grateful and lucky to be able to meet, I'll say lucky is probably not the right word, but fortunate, I suppose, is probably the better word to use. to meet some other ladies that were going through exactly the same as me. And so they had the same thoughts, they had the same feelings, they were having the same treatment. There was three or four of us, and we were able to chat to each other most days to help us get through what we were dealing with. So if you're going through something, if you can find somebody else that's having something similar, whether they're going through it now or they've done it in the past, that level of support was phenomenal. And that's what Best Friends Northamptonshire is all about.
Totally agree. It's
that peer-to-peer support. But for me, having that, I was able to then share that with you as well, Mark, weren't you?
Yeah.
So it really helped us keep resilient and think, you know, we are going to get through this. There was always going to be the light at the end of the tunnel of this. Sometimes it seemed a lot further away. And sometimes the hardest thing was you'd had one set of treatment and you knew that you had to go back and have it again and again. But you were aware of what those side effects were. So that was a real, real hard one to pick yourself up and go back into hospital and be battered by that chemotherapy. But guys, yeah, it is that mindset. It is that resilience. But whilst we were going through this, we were also still dealing with the after effects of your brain injury, weren't we?
We were, weren't we? Gosh, we're sharing a lot of our story here today. And yes, it was a really, really tough time. Maybe I shared in a podcast, I think in the opening one, about how I just blacked out in the toilet and hit my head. And my resilience, well, I had to bounce back and literally get back in the saddle. You know, no joke intended there, but I couldn't stop going to the toilet because I blacked out in the toilet. But it was pretty weird going to public toilets especially and thinking, oh my God, how did this happen? But making a joke of that, I had to get back really on my journey again. And being a runner and loving my exercise, I went straight out into the park run again maybe 3 or 4 weeks later and just took it really, really easy. But it was just those small steps forward that got me closer to the end of that tunnel. And we both had to go through it together, didn't we? That tunnel sometimes got a bit longer, didn't it?
Another thing that we decided to do, well, actually,
it was your idea. I'm going to give you all the credit for this one. It was definitely your idea.
I can remember one evening, I couldn't sleep because we were going through all of the effects of Mark's brain injury, my breast cancer, the bereavement of my dear, dear mum. And I just remember thinking, no, we can't be the only people that are going through this. There must be other people, particularly with the brain injury. And I really felt for families that were going through what we were and maybe feeling some of the thoughts that I had of not understanding the effects of the brain injury, not understanding what anxiety presents itself like, because we hadn't actually had any experience really of
until
this point. You know, we were so positive and holidays and everything was just fantastic. And then all of a sudden
life was good.
Yeah, it kind of crashed down around us, didn't it, over quite a short period of time. So I wanted to write a book because I wanted to help people out there, you know, understand what it's like to be living with what we were in terms of the brain injury, the anxiety, the depression, the mental health that was really, really scary, and how we eventually came out the other end, the tunnel that we've both mentioned.
So I'm liking that tunnel analogy. It's really good, actually. We just thought of that one on the spot.
So the idea of writing a book began, and we've written it. It's actually called What the Hell Just Happened? a great title for a book. And to be honest, that's another fantastic way of dealing with any form of trauma or adversity, isn't it?
So we were writing independently. We didn't discuss what we'd written. And I remember you'd just come in the room and say, I need a hug. I've just written about this. And I'd just be bursting into tears. I've just written about this. And it was a real release of trauma. And that took me a lot of effort to write about being a person who I once was and now have become. And it was almost going through a grief stage because I remember thinking, oh my goodness, we used to be these people. I used to be this person. I'm letting you down. And, you know, there were so many things going through my mind that were so, so tough to deal with.
Yeah. So again, this is something that we are huge advocates of, is you don't have to write a book. You don't have to get anything published. But writing down your thoughts, journaling, if you're having a particularly bad day or you're not coping very well with what's going on in your life, it is very, very cathartic to actually put those feelings, put those words down on paper. You don't have to do it, like I've just said, you don't have to publish it. You don't have to put it in writing. You can keep your own private journal. But it's a release. It's a way of releasing those emotions, those feelings, and helping to reset your mindset, really.
Yeah, that's right. So writing things down and cathartic, I remember learning what that word meant because people kept saying it all the time. So I had to go and look it up. But cathartic, that release of the trauma. I remember going back to writing What the Hell Just Happened and really struggling with those coming to terms of the person I was. And then recently I've just launched a book called Half Man, Half Marathon, which is about my running journey. And writing of that journey was so much easier because I felt the acceptance was there. I'd built that resilience up of the changes of the person I'd become. And I was putting a lot of positives in there, in this case of running and having like-minded people around me that were also running and hitting challenges and mental health issues. So that was definitely, I'm going to say the word again, very cathartic.
You definitely, you seemed a lot more comfortable about writing your story in this book than you did in the first one.
Yeah, that's right. Resilience. I've definitely built the resilience. So that's, we've covered that really, really well there with our journey. And thank you very much for listening to that and allowing us to share it with you. So let's talk about the people that are listening in today. And building up resilience is building up resilience to stress, I guess. So we work with lots of people in schools, we work with lots of community groups, we work with lots of adults and teachers. And I guess if I start with students in schools first, the pressures there are immense. I mean, I remember getting my homework and not really wanting to do it when I was at school and probably not always doing it. In fact, very rarely doing it. And that was really, really stressful because you go home and you'd have to work on this piece of work that you probably might not understand. And not understanding something and maybe being scared to ask for help was also really, really stressful. Then there's revision for exams. I mean, who loves doing an exam? I don't meet many people. We don't, do we?
Nobody likes exams.
Nobody likes exams. There's pressure there. But then, of course, there's teen stuff and there's teen pressure to look like a certain person, to be a certain person, to fit in. And it's really, really tough times to be a teenager, isn't it? But what about adults?
So, yeah, adult pressures are huge these days. You have things like work demands, being able to fit going into work in your day. And that could even include a couple of hours travelling. That can be really, really stressful just to add into this, stuck in traffic. But, you know, it will have an adverse effect on your day. And there's all your parental duties. And how difficult is that? There's so many things that's there. But you have the financial pressures of running a home, having a family and all the rest of it. So, yeah. The stress these days is quite high. So how do you build resilience? It's a skill, but a lot of it is to do with your mindset. It is absolutely key. It's about how you talk to yourself, the language that you use when you're faced with a negative situation, and trying to turn that language around into something more positive. And instead of saying, oh, I can't do this, or I'm not very good, or this is what's going to happen, or for me, why me? And so I had to turn it around and get rid of that pity party that was going on in my head and use some positive language to get me through it. So the big question is, how do you build resilience?
That is a great question.
That is a really, really good question. Now, one of the key things is your mindset. It's about how you talk to yourself if you're faced with adversity or trauma or stress. The language that you use, it will be negative to start with because it's natural when you're faced with something like this. But what you need to do is think about how you can change that negative language into something more positive language to yourself that will help you get through it.
Yeah, that's a really, really key way of moving forward, isn't it? Another one as well is creating healthy habits. So we practice the three key components of self-care, and we talk about them quite a lot in our workshops as well. But the three key components of self-care are sleep, diet, and exercise. So getting regular sleep, regulating your body clock. And this can be really, really difficult if you're a really busy person and you're having to get up early in the morning to commute to work. And then you have to have late nights because maybe you've brought work home. We talked about that in work-life balance. But it's about regulating your body clock. And then, of course, diet is all about what you put into your body. So eating good food, drinking plenty of water.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And exercise, and again, we're big fans of that. I just mentioned my book, Half Man, Half Marathon. But you don't have to go out and run a half marathon. You could go out and do what you did this morning. You went for a walk.
I like to go at some point in generally the first sort of hour of getting up. I like to get out in the fresh air, even if it's for 20 minutes, half an hour, and just get everything moving.
Yeah. And going back to what we consume, not just about what we consume in our diet, eating and drinking, but also what do we consume in the media? And we do mention this quite a lot, but are you the type of person that listens to the news headlines every hour or every half an hour, or have the news feed streaming onto your laptop, your computer, or even just going onto social media and interacting with your peers? Maybe if you're a student at school, getting involved in silly arguments with people. So maybe avoiding that and just looking for positivity in your life. And one more thing just to add on to the key components of self-care is perhaps what you consume into your mind. So if you're consuming negative social media or negative news, then that can have an adverse effect on your positivity in the day. So we always say these things, why not listen to a great positive podcast like this one, which you are now. So yeah, looking at ways to interject positivity into your life every day.
Now, another great way to help build resilience, I've spoken about it a little bit earlier, is about seeking support. So talking about your difficulties that you're coping with, it's not going to make them go away, but talking and sharing with a supportive friend, family member, a group or medical professional can actually make you feel like you've got somebody on your side. It'll also help you gain maybe some new insight or ideas that will help you better manage the challenges that you're dealing with and also develop your skill of resilience.
So yeah, another great way is to relax and recharge.
This is my favourite.
It is,
especially
indeed.
If it includes going on holiday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, obviously we can't go on holiday every week, can we? But let's imagine that you're working on something that's quite stressful or quite intense. Even just taking that 5-minute break, walking away from the computer, the laptop, the study book or whatever, and just taking that time away from it. Meditation's great as well, isn't it? And you could just practice some really, really simple breathing exercises each day. One for me massively, and for you as well, is reading a good book, drawing, creating, anything to do with creativity. We're such a big fan of that, aren't we?
We are indeed. And it does help you focus on that, what you're actually doing, and takes away your focusing on the situation that you're currently going through. So we said about worrying, 90% of what you worry about doesn't actually happen. So it will actually, all it will do is waste your mental energy. So another thing that I've spoken about a little bit earlier is look at the situation and begin to focus on what it is that you can control. You could be feeling overwhelmed and think that things are actually beyond your control, but there will be some things that you will actually have direct control of. Worrying about the ones that you don't have control of, that's just going to waste your mental energy and drag you down. So again, seek support and talk this through if you're unsure of what you can or you can't control.
Yeah, so don't try and control the weather or the traffic, maybe.
Yes, definitely uncontrollables.
Wow, so there's lots of talk on resilience, about our story and some tools and tips there. So what next for these guys?
I tell you what would be absolutely brilliant. Anybody listening, do you want to share any tips or tools that you've got that has helped you, or anything that we've said that has helped you?
We'd love
because
that.
we love that feedback, and we love that interaction with you guys. So where can they go and find some more of these tools?
Yep, as always, go to our website, which is futuretoolbox.co.uk, and there is loads and loads of tools on there for you to enjoy. You can also find us on social media, of course. We're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And I'm going to plug our books as well. So if you go to our website, we talked about What the Hell Just Happened and Half Man, Half Marathon. We also have our book, Don't Get Your Neck Tattooed. And you can find those on the Future Toolbox shop, which is at that website, futuretoolbox.co.uk. We look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Z2A of Life Skills with Jules and Mark of the Future Toolbox. Don't forget to head over to their website, which is futuretoolbox.co.uk, where you can find lots of free resources, plus a host of books in the store, as well as subscribing to the membership site. Follow Future Toolbox Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Future Toolbox, and subscribe to their YouTube channel too.